meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Earley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff Justin Johnson, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk Sharon Bono, Finance Director Alda Orduño, City Attorney.
Thank you very much. Item number one, discussion on placing an increase in the transaction of privilege tax on the ballot. And I called for this work session because the city's financial condition seeks a solution. Last spring, during budget time, the city had to dip into its reserves to the tune of about $400,000. And all indications, our next year's budget will be about the same. According to my estimates, in about 2.5 years, the reserve fund will be completely depleted. I'm suggesting to the council a 0.5-cent sales tax increase that would generate about $360,000. If this 0.5-cent sales tax increase is not approved by the voters, the city will then have to seriously shut down city services. And there's already been some discussion as to what those might be. I had this work session to get council comments to see if we should place this on the council agenda in the very near future to be able to put it on the March 8th ballot. And I understand that there are already going to be some issues on that ballot, so that wouldn't be too expensive if we have enough time to get that on there. But we could also put it on the May 17th ballot. Am I accurate on that, Ms. Coronado? Thank you. So it's finally, in the final analysis, it's up to the voters of the community if we place this on the ballot. So it's your decision to make. So we can continue to deplete the reserve funds, and automatically we will then, in 2.5 or so years, we will have to shut down city services or reduce the services that we have. So I'm asking for information or comments from the council, staff, and other individuals. There's a few people signed up. Ms. Buono, is the numbers that I talked about accurate, fairly accurate?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so let me open it up to the council who has some comments on this particular item we're talking about. I know it's a tax issue and political people don't like to talk about tax issues, but it's absolutely necessary that we do that. So I'm asking what your comments are. Council Member Hanson?
Well, I have a question. Actually.
Certainly.
Ms. Bono, I know we're early in the budget. And I know that we put the $400,000 from the reserve in it. At the rate that we're going, are we going to be dipping into all of that, or do you have any idea? I know it's early, but if you have any indication.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. As of right now, I feel very strongly that we will be going into the reserves anywhere between $200,000 and $400,000 for last year. Our financials are not completed. We have the year-end accruals to do, and things can change. The other thing we need to keep in mind is GASB 68 will be implemented this year. GASB 68 is showing the liability for pensions, and our auditor addressed that with you last year. So we only have about, I think, 1.2. So 2.5 years is kind of, if we continue at that rate, our reserves will be gone. And we'll also
You're
be going
talking
into
about
cash.
Last year, we've already dipped in for $200,000?
Yeah. Almost four. It could be as high as four as soon as we're done with the year-end accruals. And that was in that budget last year. I don't know if you were on council, but it was, that's when the increase hit us from the 60% for pensions up into the 94.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that's when that increased. But my numbers are not hard yet. They'll be released to you in December once we have the finalization with the auditor. So there's still a lot of things that we have to look at. Things can change, but it's definitely, as of right now, in the red. So.
I will say this, that the primary reason, correct me if I'm mistaken, Ms. Buono, the primary reason that we ran a $400,000, we had to go into the reserve for $400,000 is because of the PSPRS. The increase was about that same amount.
Exactly.
So we are now paying this year about $1.4 million. Yeah. And this is, in my opinion, a crisis that's throughout the state, and the League Task Force is attempting to solve that particular problem. In various ways. So the city's finances were in pretty good shape, kind of a break even, you know, revenue expenses, but we got tagged with that $400,000 increase. I'm expecting that to probably be about the same next year. Do you think, Ms. Bono, there'll be another slight increase on that, or would it maintain about the same?
It just depends on what happens. I think it's with the Hall or the Baker case. There was two lawsuits in court, and the state lost the first one. That's what caused it to go from 60% to 90. This lawsuit has to do with the employees' portion of what they contribute to their retirement. It used to be 7, now it's 10, and they filed suit. So if they're successful, the unions, then we will have to go back and account for that 3% change all the way back to, I don't know if it was 2010 or 11 when that went into effect. So that is on the horizon, and if you went to any of the PSPRS, the League's Task Force meetings, they talked about that because that's the one thing that's still hanging over our head on whether or not they go up. Remember, your pensions for the way they calculate the rates is based on the number of employees that you have and the number of employees that you're supporting. So the less employees we have, the higher the rate, but it's a vicious circle. We can't afford, because I call public safety twofers. We pay for two and we get one. 94% is just for the pension, and this is statutorily required. There's no... You know, we don't have an option. So the retirement and the payroll benefits and all the taxes are paid first. Then whatever is left over is what we use to provide services to our citizens in the community.
One item that I've been talking about for 3 years is an equalization process throughout the state, where the cities and counties portion of that is all at the same percentage level. And so the task force has that on their work agenda, pooled assets and liabilities. All employers and employees will pay the same percentage across the state. And also, while I was up there, I presented to the Arizona League of Cities and Towns Resolution Committee that another solution possibly is that, since the state has oversight, and in my opinion lacked oversight, from the governor's office, the auditor's office, the state legislature, possibly the attorney general's office, that it is their responsibility. So I suggested to the resolution committee, and that's 93 mayors deciding things to send over to the legislature. This was not on the PSPRS was on the agenda, but not this particular thing, but it was a talking point that I wanted to talk about, that the state fund it through a state sales tax, perhaps half a cent on a statewide level. And that would free up huge amounts of monies for all the cities and towns across the state if it was funded on a statewide level. And my friends I had in the audience, usually a huge audience around this this resolution committee, they told me that seeing the faces, it's not something where people clap at or cheer, but it seemed to come across extremely favorable. So when you have 93 mayors or their representatives on this committee suggesting things to the legislature, it carries tremendous weight. So I would hope that they would examine that, but we do not have a solution for that for next year. It will not happen real soon. That's sometime off into the future. You have to plant the seeds and let those seeds grow a little bit until it becomes a political, a favorable option to the state legislatures. So they have some rather draconian ideas. After July 1st, 2016, all employees and employers, they will have an equal cost sharing. I think that is, you know, way too draconian for the employees that will take place, ones that are hired after July 1st of next year. Increased benefits only if the plan is fully funded before and after the change. And, of course, another item that they had was sound funding and investment policy. They're about 6-8 years too late on that one, I think. So hopefully, I also suggested that if they just followed the regular Arizona retirement system, they would have been in great shape. But they had a different system and different fund managers, and they've come and gone. So comments from the council. I think therein lies the solution to the cities and towns across the state of Arizona and county governments as well to solve this particular dilemma to get the various communities in this state on a sound financial footing. And that would be that would mean if the state picked it up, that would mean that we would have an extra $1.4 million to spend. We would be home free. So it's a very important issue. Prescott had it on the ballot. A slightly different, 0.55, and essentially a half a cent, to deal with the unfunded liabilities of the PSPRS. Unfortunately for Prescott, or fortunately if you're one of the people that voted against it, didn't want it, it went down to defeat 56% to 44%. But this is not exactly what we're dealing with tonight. We're just dealing with a half a cent, a possible half a cent sales tax increase or transaction privilege tax that would get us through after the next 2 years. I don't want to see those reserve funds depleted, and because you need them sometimes. And Ms. Bono, is there an estimate of how much you really should have in the reserve fund?
The GFOA, which is the Government Association for Financial Officers, they recommend 2 months. I've always said three. It just depends on how much you have, and it's based on your actual budget. Tentatively, right now, unaudited documents, we have like $1 million in reserve, so we would have to sit down and maybe really, really hammer at that number. It should be, you know, 2 months worth of expenses, of general fund expenses. So you'd have to figure that out. So, and that changes based on decisions that are made, personnel that are here. Whether or not we have vacant positions, if we're going to fill the positions, there's all kinds of factors. I don't know that we've ever been in this situation. I looked back very, very briefly in Dee's time, and they never really went into reserves except for an accounting change that made them do that. So this is the time that we're going to have to really look at that. We have to decide what services are essential, what services are not essential. If we get to a point that you think the council thinks that we need to implement something through the city manager, then we need to start doing that. I'd like to be ready about January. You know, a decision on what services can we provide or should we provide and how to go about it. I have some ideas, but we really haven't thrown them out. We haven't really talked about them. But, you know, every place that we can save some money, I'm for it.
Once again, as I said earlier in the final analysis, it's really up to the voters, to the people of the community, to decide what they want, and the council, whatever they decide to do. This does, if the council approves this, to go on the ballot in March, hopefully. Whatever the voters decide, that's what the council will do, whoever's sitting up here at that time. And there would no doubt whatsoever, that would be a serious cut in city services, and they would have to pick and choose what would be eliminated. And I won't speculate on that here tonight. Let me open it up to the council.
I really support the March ballot because that's going to determine how your budget is built. If a decision is made to wait till May, I've already brought it to you, and we would just have to. You can't change it, but we would just have to work with it. But that would benefit staff in planning at all department levels.
So just a final comment. It really is what the people of the community want this city to be and what they would like to do for the future. I think that we need to do this. I think cutting services, and I won't name those services, but, you know, I've examined them. I think that would be a tragedy for this community, quite frankly. Councilmember Dunn, did you have a comment?
Yes. I certainly want to commend you for bringing this, asking for this work session, and certainly I certainly commend you for voicing your leadership in terms of the league and the Siegel and the county mayors. I certainly want to indicate up front my support for moving forward on this. I do, however, want to use the time we have allocated here to have a spirited discussion, both the public safety retirement system and how we got there, as well as I'd like to propose some other alternatives for increasing funding support, particularly for the fire department. So if it's appropriate, I'll kick off and talk for a while and rehearse some points that I want to make with the public.
You have the floor.
I think that certainly we've, some months ago, we had a presentation by a task force from the Public Safety Retirement System, and it's taken me a while to fully comprehend what was shared with us, and I think, and certainly talking with the public, it was confusing to me, it's even more confusing to them in terms of how do we get ourselves into the situation that we're in. Certainly, you made the statement that the system was mismanaged. I think that's probably an over-exaggeration. Certainly, we went through a recession, and certainly all retirement accounts, including mine, saw a loss in face value. There have been two independent investigations of the public safety retirement system. Both of those indicated that there were no mismanagement in terms of the management of those funds. There has been some changes in terms of that management team. A most recent article that I read indicates the Arizona Public Safety Retirement System is now one of the top rated retirement systems in America. We are in a situation, as indicated here, and it's even greater than the figures that were stated, and that is that we now have, for this year that we're in, we've budgeted $228,000. Is our obligation for the fireman's retirement, and an additional $604,000 for the police retirement. And it's interesting, they call this unfunded accrual liability, is the term that's used for that. This past year, in terms of our 2006 budget, the total amount of tax revenue that the city of Bisbee generates, and that's sales tax, property tax, state revenue sharing, et cetera, amounts to, as projected, $5,027,000. You compare those two figures, and the Public Safety Retirement Program represents 26% of all city tax revenue. Also, in terms of the report that was presented to us, they also identify what the net unfunded accrued liability is, and as of June 30th, 2014, when that report was made, we have a net liability in terms of total liability of $9,800,000 for the fireman's retirement, $7,800,000 for the police retirement, of which the $1.3 million we're talking about funding this year is just this year's. I mean, they've done some accounting in terms of determining how do we go about paying off this $17,671,261 obligation. They've determined that if we pay this $1,300,000 this year and more or less the next year, that we'll eventually pay that off. I divided those two numbers, and it means that we would be paying this on, like, for 13 or 14 years. I mean, that's what you compare those two numbers. I mean, this is not a short-term situation that we're faced with. The question that certainly citizens ask me is, how do we get to this position? How do we get here? And that's a good question. Certainly, the Firemen's Union has been very effective in generating support for public safety personnel retirement. Unbelievably successful. And they've done this under the watch, as you've indicated, of the governor, the Arizona legislature, and frankly, this body right here, the mayor and council. We certainly do have oversight of this, and it was under our watch. some of the things that Sharon alluded to in terms of creating these very lucrative retirement benefits. Public safety personnel are able to retire after 20 years of service. That has been recently raised to 25 years, but certainly that's just for new people coming in. Also, as indicated, Sharon has indicated that up until, again, this we're proposing some changes here, but public safety personnel now pay an ERE, or in terms of an annual contribution to retirement, of 7.65% of their salary. All other city employees in this community, as well as state and county employees who are under the Arizona State Retirement System, pay 11.8%. 11.8% versus 7.65% that the firemen have been paying. There's certainly a proposal to raise that contribution, and that's part of the discussion of being that's occurring on the state level. Another amazing thing that the union has been able to bring off, they got agreement on a cost of living benefit for current retirees. And it's called a permanent benefit increase. And basically what that benefit entails, that whenever earnings on the endowment or on the investment exceed 9%, all earnings over 9% go to retirees as a cost of living benefit. Normally, in terms of a retirement program, you hope that when you have good years that you're going to be building the reserve to cover for poor years in terms of the stock market. With this clause, that is prevented. For example, after we've moved out of the recession, the last 5 years the stock market has performed particularly well if you follow the stock market. The Standard & Poor's 500 index indicates that we've experienced over the last 5 years a 17.34% increase in stocks, and that means that the average stock in S&P 500 or the average stock in the stock market increased 17% annually over the past 5 years. That's an increase of 86% over that 5 years, if the retirement account had been invested totally in stock, which it's invested in bonds and other investment instruments as well. So if that's, but if it was, we could have recouped much of that reserve just in the last 5 years, excellent performance of the stock market, which was up 86%. Unfortunately, over half of that has gone directly to current retirees as a cost of living benefit, which amounts to 8% a year. At a time for those of us who are in Social Security, the last several years we've gotten zero in terms of cost of living increase. And all of this was done, again, I want to say, under the watch of the governor, the legislature, and this body. I don't think we were fully aware of what the impact of all this was, but I think it's always been a desire to do good for our public safety personnel and our public safety retirees. Another thing that's interesting with the public safety retirement program is, in contrast to Arizona State Retirement, Sharon, you correct me anytime that I'm saying something incorrect here. I'm learning from you, and I may not have it down right yet. But anyway, in contrast to the Arizona State Retirement Program, in which one body administers the entire program, there's one big pool of money that is invested and the program is administered at one central location. Everybody operates under the same rules of retirement, of benefits, etc. In contrast, the Public Safety Retirement Program consists of 256 separate programs, of which the City of Bisbee Fireman Retirement Program is one of those. So there is no central administration or management of this program. The City of Bisbee Firefighters Retirement Fund it's called, is managed. Well, I should say the funds are invested and managed at the state level, but decisions regarding retirement benefits are decided by the City of Bisbee Public Safety Retirement Board. And that board is made up of a representative of the firemen, a representative of the police department, our personnel director, and is chaired by the mayor. I've attended one of those meetings. They determine when an individual comes forward and requests retirement, that body, that board, that local board, determines what type of retirement are we offering. And this is particularly important, not only in terms of regular retirement, but also in terms of disability, in terms of early retirement, in terms of how Stone Garden funds are figure into this. They also are the ones who decide participation in what's called the drop program, in which we can, after a person retires, they can come back and work for the city, and no ERE is withdrawn by the employee or the city, because they're no longer going to receive additional benefits. They're already on retirement. But there's still a question in terms of what is the long-term impact of the drop program. Certainly, when you're hiring someone who's already retired, that replaces somebody who might be paying into the system. And so the impact of that has never been clear to me. Larger cities, we learned in terms of the presentation, larger cities have been able to hire, they actually have attorneys that they have arranged to bring in to help them assess these requests for retirement. In terms of helping the city understand what is the obligation of what's being requested. We do not have the funds for that. We've never had that type of arrangement. I suggested to people who were down here that that's a service that the state needs to provide us in the future, the small communities. And so, in short, what has happened in a desire to do right for our firefighters, for our retirees, to reward people who have done good service in our community, we have committed to benefits that were not fully funded. We've committed to benefits, and no question asked in terms, has there been adequate benefit or funding to pay for those benefits? And I think it's particularly interesting in terms of Bisbee's role and how we got to this point. If you look at the report that Sharon helped us put together, I think it's, Bisbee is ranked, of the 256 retirement programs, we're number 4 in terms of cost. And I think it's particularly interesting, I found, to compare Bisbee with 2 other communities that have a very similar historic tradition, and that is Globe and Douglas, who have a long, early tradition of paid firemen. They're similar in terms of Globe, a mining community. It's a very similar history, a very similar experience with the retirement program. The interesting thing is that Bisbee's, again, they call it unfunded accrued liability, is 40% higher than Globe's, is 38% higher than Douglas's. We're talking about something like an additional $6 million. Our indebtedness, our liability is like $6 million larger than those other comparable communities. We are liable for this morally, legally, financially. But I think that it is necessary as we move forward, as we had a discussion last night in terms of support of our public, of our firemen, a full acknowledgement of how we got to this place that we are. And certainly if it wasn't for, if we were paying, in terms of Arizona State Retirement, in terms of other employees, we pay 11.8% as well as the employees. Is that correct?
It's half and half,
right,
for everybody else.
That's what we would be paying if these employees were on the Arizona State Retirement Program. Because the benefits are similar. But we're in this situation where now we're paying 95%. And it is a serious situation. But I think it is important to share openly with the electorate in terms of how we got to this situation. Certainly, again, in our desire to do well by our firemen, to do well by our policemen, we are in a situation where we have a serious, serious financial liability. Sharon, do you want to correct anything that I've said?
No, sir. You're pretty much right on.
Thank you. Very clear. A lot clearer than I could put it. It's hard to articulate what all went on here. A lot of things, too, on the oversight of the local board, and that's what we call the PSPRS board. They are the body, the oversight body, and there's a lot of things that need to be done that we really haven't done as a city. One of it is when you bring in new employees, public safety, there needs to be an evaluation done. A lot of the bigger cities have doctors, and let's say that we had an officer that had a workman's comp issue in a prior city. That's all documented right there before he comes on board. So if that injury crops up again, maybe it's not Bisbee's 100% liability. The other thing is I'm not so sure we're really good at, I'm not so sure how many people we have on disability, but we have the right to review that every year. Disability is really important because it determines whether or not the employee pays taxes, because it's non-taxable if it's disability. There's all those factors. So on the board, there's a couple other seats that are on the board that the mayor appoints, and those are the citizens. And right now those citizens are part of our public safety. So we might want to look at when that time comes up that we can appoint citizens. Anybody can be appointed to that. You need to do the medical evaluations and document. So if a time comes when there is an issue and that person qualifies, whose liability is it? So there are all kinds of things. They have doctors, I think it was Tucson and Phoenix, you know, they actually have doctors on contract. And there should be a doctor or a nurse sitting at that table when you're processing people in and processing people out. And that's basically what they're doing. They're voting on taking this time and service to us, and then when they leave us. Now, I'm a full supporter of the Yardstick. I'm absolutely amazed with that program. It is not a solution for everything. After they came and talked to us about, they gave that presentation, I went to their meetings. And I sat there in the room, and I was probably one of the only, and I just listened to these incredibly talented and brilliant people. They were HR, city managers, finance directors, the city of Phoenix. Their public safety is not part of this program, so he was there. So they asked all the right questions, and they were very careful to make sure that we didn't alienate our public safety, because other departments can feel, because all the dollars are allocated to them because there's no choice. So there's issues with that too within. So they talked about managing that and how to make that fair. And I'm not sure who all saw the presentation, but they were talking about the stool, the three legs. You know, you are responsible as a person for your own retirement. And what has happened over time with PSPRS is these young firefighters and police officers, they're relying on the city 100%. And that time is no longer here. You have to have your Social Security. And they even talked about, because we don't pay Social Security for ours, about implementing that for the firefighters that don't have it, so they'll have Social Security, they'll have their retirement, and they're going to have their own savings. Because the bottom line when this all comes out is at the end of the day, they can't expect a city or a government to support them for the rest of their lives, especially when you can retire in 20 years. So the Yardstick's not perfect. It's a solution. And it's 50-50 sharing. Our mayor had said it was kind of draconian, but that's what we do already. You know, you have to invest in and own. We all pick our professions for a reason. So that is happening. Those individuals that developed this plan are my peers, pretty much, to help cities and governments manage their debt. That's all they're doing. They can't erase it. They can't tell it to go away. They don't want it either. But they're just trying to give us mechanisms and advise councils on how to proceed forward. A lot of them were saying, let's go ahead and put a chunk of money in. Cochise County did. I had a wonderful conversation with Lois Klein, and you know, to put that chunk of money in because they're earning more interest than what we're earning. But the problem with us is we don't have that type of money. I don't have $2 million that I can put in there to earn interest to offset our charges. This organization, the league, they also are making sure that the calculations are right for credits back to the organizations. It doesn't do any good to put $2 million in, and then on June 30th, only get credit for that, and they've had your money all year. So these are the checks and balances. I'm sure it's not perfect. I'm sure there'll be a lot of pushback from the unions, the organizations. But this is what we need to do to start healing and survive long term. We can't do anything about the current plan. And they were smart enough to realize that because we can spend all the time that we want fighting it and lose every time and have to pay more. So what we need to do is fix it going forward. And like I said, I'm sure it's not perfect, but it's a lot better than what we have because right now we don't have a solution. There's no solution. The debt just builds and builds and builds.
We're certainly building on.
All three of us want to go.
Oh, did you too? I'll go first, but I'll be quick. Another something I want to dispel right now. When I said draconian, that's what I meant, draconian. The ARS is 11 and whatever percent employee city. But if we're talking PSPRS, we're looking at a situation where it might be 30%. That's draconian. That's serious, and I don't think those public safety employees could have that much taken out of their check. That's draconian to me. That's serious stuff. I would never support that.
And I think there's also a mechanism in there that some things don't apply. Like currently, the reason that the rate is so high is because everything in the world applies to it. But they had certain exemptions, like certain overtimes and things of that nature, that I think that they had tied down. Because basically, the reason it's so high is because, you know, maybe they worked an awful lot of overtime for a long period of time.
Councilmember Hansen.
I sat through a meeting at the city of the League of Cities and Towns recently on the PSPRS, and they said exactly what you're talking about. But the other thing is that you're talking about the 256 funds throughout the state. They are looking at combining that to one fund under the state, which I think really will help a lot. But we're talking about down the line here. We're talking about a new set of people coming in that would be under those particular rules. Mm-hmm. But at least they are looking at trying to solve this problem in the future. But we have to look at how we're going to solve what we have now.
Well, we also need to give support to them.
Absolutely.
Because this is our problem today, but future councils' problems in 20 years.
Let me add these. I'm sorry, was you finished?
No, I'm just comment.
Let me throw some other numbers out. Circa about 1998, year 2000, the PSPRS fund was at 123% sustainability. It was flush. It was doing real well. And somehow there's an impression that it was somehow the city's fault. The fault was the fund was totally mismanaged. In 2004-2005, the city portion of that was 19%. This year, it's 94%. And so that the tech bubble helped crash that, and about 8 or 9, 10% of that investment was in mortgage-backed securities. We know what happened to those. They went to junk status, subprime, and just a lot of bad investment decisions. They've gone through two or three different fund managers. In my opinion, the board that oversees that particular fund, the managers of that fund, were asleep at the switch. And the state didn't have had very little oversight, weren't paying attention, in my opinion. And so I think we need to deal with why that fund was depleted. It's not because of the city of Bisbee or the city of Wilcox. The fund managers ran that fund into the ground. That's what happened.
There was also an accounting issue that they had to go back, so it changed the way that they calculated the liability. And what happened was the firm that had it, when they're doing their actual aerials, you know, projecting out 22 years is what your liability is, they didn't include the PBIs, the permanent benefit increase. So they made them go back and reinstate everything, and that was another thing that helped our numbers go up as far as our liability. The auditors called them on it, had a different set of auditors came in, they had to reinstate their numbers, which means we reinstate our numbers. So we rely on them to give us the information, and You'll see more of that as we go through the financials and GASB 68. But that's another thing that made it, not only the mismanagement of the dollars, but the way they calculated things too.
Let's maybe rope this back into our budget time next year, and it looks like to me it'll be about $400,000 out of the reserve fund. And so this is whatever the reasons are for that. Might be secondary to the major issue we have to deal with, and that is, shall we ask the voters to approve a 1/2 cent sales tax so we will not have to go into the reserve fund into the future? And still won't be quite enough. It'll be about $350,000-$360,000, hopefully, if the sales tax revenues and state share revenues all remain the same, which I think they will. And this is the ultimate reason we're up here tonight, discuss that 1/2 cent sales tax. I think that we need to do that, ask the voters to do that. Councilmember Hansen, did you have a comment?
I did a very quick look at what the sales tax, just the sales tax, were for the different, for four different places. And this was from the 2015 tax resource. In Bisbee was 8.6, Douglas was 8.9, and Sierra Vista was 7.85, and Wilcox was 9.10. So, with the 0.5% increase, we're still right in that.
So our tax rate is what?
It did increase one.
Right.
It went on up as far as March. It went up one. And that's another thing that we need to consider. Mr. Dunn, you were talking about the total sales tax dollars. We have to remember the committed part of that. Wastewater voters voted in the year 2000. They get a half a percent. So we can't even consider that. That has to be done first. And then the other two, the sunset, the 1%, and then for the streets. So when you're looking at your sales tax dollars in the budget line, we have to allocate that stuff first because it's voter approved, and then everything else falls into place.
The city of Prescott did have some other sales tax issues on their ballot, and they did approve overwhelmingly the sales tax, I think it was 1%, 1 cent, for the streets. They did overwhelmingly pass that. But I think a 0.5 cent isn't too much to ask for the benefits or the services that would be lost to this community, maybe beginning next year after budget time, we'd seriously look at seriously cutting benefits that people, enjoyments that people benefit from those services. This would be, I don't think this would be a good thing for our community. I think we need that 1/2 cent sales tax. At least ask the voters, what do you want to do? Which road do you want to go down? I think it's important. So I'm not sure what the prevailing sentiment is up here. I think it's somewhat in favor of placing this on a council agenda in the very, very near future. I want to do this as rapidly as we can because we are running up against a time crunch on the March 8th, 2016 ballot. and I hope we don't have to move it down to the May 17th one, but we might. And we'll have that clarified soon with the city attorney's office to see if we can still get that on the March 8th ballot. And that won't cost us a whole lot because there's going to be some other items. Is that correct, Ms. Coronado? Other items on that particular ballot.
The city of Douglas will be holding an election at that, okay, at that
date. Other?
Mayor?
Yes, council member.
I'd like to share what I statement of what I reviewed with you, with the city clerk, and others can obtain copies of that. Again, I think it's well researched. I'd also now like to brainstorm, if I want to call it brainstorm, in terms of other alternatives, funding alternatives, and particularly in terms of funding our public safety, our fire department in particular. The first is the one that we're discussing, and I've indicated already that I support moving forward immediately, and I commend you for having brought this to us, and I want to indicate my support for moving this forward for a vote of the people. A 1% increase, it generates, as you indicated, somewhere around the order of $750,000. Our obligation to Arizona State or Public Safety is $1,332,000. That would require a 1.8% sales tax increase just to cover that annual, this year's obligation. Also, it's interesting in terms of looking at the Public Safety Retirement Program, that if we were to increase the sales tax 1% and dedicate it to our accrued, as they say, net unfunded accrued liability, it would take us 23 years to pay it off. I'd also, as an alternative in terms of brainstorming, I'd like us to give serious consideration to the formation of a fire district to take over the current Bisbee Fire Department, and that fire district would be funded as a secondary property tax assessment on all property within that designated district. That district could be restricted to the current city limits of Bisbee, or it could be expanded to cover areas on the outskirts that we now serve, such as Freeport, McMoran's properties, and others. It could also include, with the agreement of all parties, incorporating the San Jose Fire District. How that, certainly I think in the past we've scared people in saying that a fire district means a volunteer fire district. That's not true. It would be managed however we would like it to be. It could be formed strictly to contract with, as I understand, attorney needs to get in here and argue with me on this. As I understand it, it could be set up basically to carry out and fund the existing Bisbee Fire Department. The process for establishing the district is that a petition is submitted to the County Board of Supervisors. That petition must contain a majority, meaning 51% of property owners in that designated district. It must also include a majority, 51% of the assessed valuation of
Councilman
that district.
Dunn, if I may interrupt a moment, I believe that we're going a little off topic as far as how we indicated what the agenda item would be. I don't think that we gave proper notice as far as talking about alternatives. The issue was limited to whether or not the 0.5% increase in the transaction privilege tax.
Thank you.
This is a work session. I thought we were considering alternatives.
We're considering the possibility of increasing the transaction privilege tax by 0.5 cent.
I think that all the other alternatives are going to be asked for, and if we move forward on doing it, which I support, we need to be ready to respond to other suggestions and other options.
Would you want to expound upon your opinion, Ms. Ordino?
Well, the reason I say that is we're required to give notice so that if other people, I mean, they may disagree with the transaction privilege tax, but if they have other ideas as far as alternatives, they really haven't been given an opportunity to speak here tonight.
I agree with what you're saying, and that's kind of why I wanted to rope it back in. We went off on the PRS thing as well, and I needed to rope that back in. We're probably off topic.
Okay, well, then I would like to request that we have a work session to investigate other options. I know the citizens are going to say, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And we need to be response, and we need to have a contingency in terms of what happens if this tax is not approved by citizens. What are we going to fall back on? There's been a number of ideas suggested to me, and I'd like to share those and for our review.
Well, I would love to rebut almost everything that you said, but I think we are off topic, and I will not do that. At a later time, I'm certainly sure that I will. Any other comments on increasing? Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I certainly agree that we obviously have to do something to keep the city services alive. We don't want to put those in jeopardy for any reason. And so if increasing the tax is an option, then I'm going to vote for any option we have. But like Mr. Dunn said, we haven't been given any other options, and I support the idea of exploring other options because, again, even that isn't going to get us even slightly out of the hole. It's just going to fix it for a little while. And at the same time, it seems unfair to keep putting the burden on the taxpayers' backs when this is the poorest city in the county, or at least right up there with them. And so how can we ask the poorest people to basically cover these pension costs for, you know, people that are making a huge amount more in retirement than they can even dream of? So I just don't see that it will be supported or taken all that well by the voters, because it doesn't go, I mean, if we frame it to, hey, we need this to keep our services going, that's for everyone, but really the problem isn't that we mismanage the money, like you said, and we can't keep our own services open. It's this public safety retirement problem. Anyway, so I support the tax if that's the only option we have, because we need an option, but we really need to sit down and do many workshops, perhaps, to figure out how are we going to bring in more revenue to the city and not just taxes. What can we do? How can we be, you know, ingenious and come up with some new ways to bring money into our town? There's got to be ways besides just the taxes. So I hope we can schedule at least one or two more work sessions.
Also, Mayor, I think there's a question of what's equitable. And right now we rely, because it's our only, basically the only thing that we have control over is the sales tax. But it's not an equitable tax. It hits certain people heavier than others. We've relied on that in this community. We certainly went all out at the last election in terms of getting business as well as resident approval of a sales tax increase to improve streets, and we all worked on that, and we are to congratulate ourselves for that. Certainly the public stepped forward on that. It does not treat everybody fair. And there are other alternatives that I think are fair.
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the timing, you know, is too quick right on the back of a tax increase that we just did. I agree with Councilperson Sullivan that in that any source of revenue I would welcome to this town. The problem I foresee going forward with work sessions, and I agree that we need to have them, but it's going to appear to be divisive on the issues and the items that we're going to be talking about. And I find it very unsettling using that word in anticipation of these work sessions, but I see just a train wreck coming in the form of work sessions and talking about doing things different. And we've been talking about doing things different for over a year now. I think, and I'm not a finance person, however, if we stopped adding to the pension debt at the rate that we have been going forward, what with all the new qualifiers in retiring a little bit later and new hires going forward, what we're promising things, but I think that the single most effective way that we can impact our pensions is by not adding to the burden anymore. And that means doing things differently, again, that we've been talking about for more than a year. And it's frustrating that we're still in the talk session, and it's really frustrating being called a divisive person at this dais from the bully pulpit that you hold, Mayor. So I really look forward to being able to ask all these questions that everybody else got to ask before it was brought to our attention that were off topic. I'm really disappointed because I had a lot of them, but I can't ask them because they're not on the agenda. So I'm not for putting this on an agenda to vote on whether we want to put it on a March or a May or a November ballot. I'll vote towards that, but I think it's a moot point. It's a waste of how much money does it cost, Mayor, to have another, you keep saying, and I'm going to break this for just a moment, quote, not much. What's not much? How much is not much? For an addition, that's a question, Mayor. How much is not much for an additional something pamphlet or how much does it cost?
Since Douglas is going to have something on that ballot, I'm going to speculate because I don't actually know. $1,000, $1,500, less?
It's going to be more than that.
More than that, okay.
Anywhere from $35,000 to
$5,000. Okay. But if it was, what if we was doing it independently, we'd be in over 10?
It will be a lot more.
Okay.
That's so $3,500?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that we need to ask the voters whether that's not much or not going forward if we're going to have, if we're going to spend their money on something. You know, let's get the voters to find out, you know, what not much is. Is it 2 months or is it 3 months reserve?
GFOA says it's 2 months.
Did that change recently?
I don't think so. Read that. I just went through it. They recommend, but it's all also based on your size. One of the concerns that they say 2 months minimum is a lot of councils would like to spend down. They think there's too much in reserve and they want to do things. So the recommendation is 2. We've always done 3.
Okay, so I did hear 3 before.
Yes,
there
sir. Absolutely, okay. Sir. Absolutely. Right. And so then I said
we,
it before.
When did we change our language?
When I read it just in August, actually,
okay.
I took a test and it was on.
So a couple months.
So that's, and I went, really, 2? I thought it was always 3.
Was there any penalty or interest this since we deferred our payment? We decided not to make this payment towards the pensions until, is there going to be a penalty or an interest?
It's a different type of situation.
Just so no, there won't be, right?
There's not. We okay. meet our contributions. The auditor reports to you every year telling you whether or not we meet our required contributions to our pension systems, whether it be PSPRS or ASRS. But your contribution is not your expense.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for indulging me, Mayor.
Any other comments from the council?
I
questions?
Have one. I have a question.
Councilmember Hansen.
The agenda item was just for the 0.5% revenue increase, but somehow it morphed into going. It's all going towards the PSPR, whatever it is.
PSPRS, yeah.
I always get the
public safety.
PSPRS. I even wrote it down. Is that what we're talking about, or are we just talking about a general increase that goes into the operating funds, or is it being dedicated?
We were talking about this last year's budget. We had to dip into the reserves for about $400,000, and a half-cent increase in the transaction privilege tax next year would pretty much cover that $400,000, probably about $350 or $360. So that's what was on that is what is on the agenda.
So it has nothing to do with the PSPRS.
Well, I suppose it has to do with every facet of city government spending, if you want to get down to details. But we're just talking about the shortfall of last spring and a remedy to that, which would be 0.5 cent sales tax increase.
I think at this point, that we need to start identifying essential services. And I would implore you to think about it, because we can come back and we have an idea of what is essential and non-essential. So if the sales tax increase is not approved, we need to visit that issue. We need to have the alternate plan, and we can do a work session, because I'm sure there's all kinds of things. But this ties into the sales tax, because at some point we're going to have to scale back services. And we'll start with the non-essential. And non-essential services are interpretations of people, so that's going to be difficult, and we'll have to, in work sessions, iron that out, and then we'll implement.
Well, I think that it's very important then to have the work session so that we can do that and look at other alternatives, because maybe we won't need that 1.5% if we had other alternatives, because that is that's the elephant in the room.
It is, and I've said this before about the PSPRS. We're required by law. So dedicating a percentage of the tax is irrelevant, because even if it doesn't pass, we have to pay it.
Right.
It's not going to solve any of the problems. What's going to happen is other services have to be sacrificed. So we need to decide and what those services are, and let the voters know that this is what your intent is, the city's intent. But it's very real, and it's going to happen within the next year and a half. And we'll know more when that law case, if we have to fund more. But your sales tax is already dedicated, in three other places. So, thank you, sir.
Well, let me, before we go to some speakers, I thought long and hard about this. And I think the reserve fund depleting that would be a tragedy and dangerous for the city. So I felt it would be a dereliction of my duty for the position that I'm holding right now to not give the public the opportunity to decide which way they want to go. And the only way to do that is place this on the ballot. Let me get to a couple of people that wanted to speak. Eric Farner.
Mayor, Council, Eric Farner, 609 Bisbee Road. What I was going to talk about, actually, I was thought, Councilman Dunn was stealing my thunder, but then he was off topic. So does that apply to me as well, that I need to not go where he was going to go, or do I have more latitude?
Sir, you can say whatever you want. The council, if it's off topic, won't be able to address it.
But in order to have a robust, I would rather have a conversation when the council can talk too. So I'm actually going to kind of cut my remarks short.
Let me ask the city attorney. I had a situation a long time ago where someone on an agenda item was going to go off that a particular agenda item wasn't called to the public, and the city attorney advised me that they could not do that. So I would think that since this is an agenda item, the speakers at the podium pretty much have to stay on track of what that agenda item is. I mean, Your thoughts, if they don't talk to the council, they can say anything, but I why do I disagree with you? You're the attorney.
You're saying that because the issue, this isn't a regular call to the public, this is specific to the agenda item, and that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Didn't call it as a general call to the public.
This is not a general call to the public.
Right, okay. I stand corrected. Sorry. Okay. I apologize for that.
That's what I thought. And so I would encourage the council then to, set up a more broad-ranging work session because I'm surprised that it seems like Mr. Dunn and I seem to be on the same track. I didn't see that coming. But that robust conversation needs to happen and quickly. And I think that although, people don't necessarily want to hear my point of view, it seems like, because I thought I was the elephant in the room, ex-Republican who still leans a Republican conservative, and I tend to lean towards, the tax increase, but with a lot of caveats. And maybe not a tax increase, but increasing revenues, maybe not through a sales tax. We need to have that discussion. So, and another piece I'd like to see, sometimes I wonder, we've got an excellent and competent city manager, and he carries out policy. And sometimes I wish I could just sit down with this guy and ask him what would he do if he had a free hand to do whatever the hell he wanted, to make the Bisbee successful, because if Bisbee's successful, he's successful. I mean, it's like it's a win-win, what we could do. And we got to have that conversation. So I move that we schedule another session that'd be more free-ranging. This option, as well as the alternatives, that are available to present to the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Funner. Susan Blackford.
Good evening, Susan Blackford Warren.
Ms. Blackford, do you want to pull those little things down a little closer?
Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Susan Blackford Warren, concerned citizens of Bisbee. I really don't know what I can talk about. I'm sorry. I came up with some suggestions, small as they are, but everything goes, I feel, it gets to be accumulated. If we wait for a big sugar daddy or thing to come in, it's not going to happen to this town. So I just had some small ones. Am I not allowed? I don't care if they respond. Am I not allowed to just read what I've been discussing with a lot of other people? In addition to doing the sales tax, which I support, the half sales tax, with probably some caveats and further discussions, which is appropriate. And I agree with Doug Dunn on half of what he said, which is a miracle to begin with, because he and I never agree on one little iota. I just don't know what. I don't want to be called out of order, but I was always thought a work discussion was a place where you can discuss. And I understand maybe the council has different rules than the citizens do, in the fact that we can open it up a little more and explain a little more ideas if we don't expect them to answer us?
In this situation, no, because it's the agenda item is very specific, and this is, you would be able to speak about anything you want to if it was a general call to the public, but it's not. Specific to the agenda item. The only question on the agenda is whether or not to place the half-cent increase.
Okay, I see it differently with no experience. Okay, it said a discussion. It didn't say that this was an agenda item. This is a work session. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why we can't, and you're the professional, I'm not, but why we can't talk about this and the ideas. It's very frustrating for us that we just stand there and say, yay, no, and not come up with any kind of ideas to maybe put out there to help open up discussion whether we want to do the 1.5 cent or we talk about this or we talk about that.
Perhaps I can clarify that a little bit. If we morphed off into a subject matter that concerned people that lived on a certain street or attitudes in town or things that affected other people, it's not on the agenda, and they wouldn't have the opportunity to be able to respond to that. I'm not saying you're going to be doing that, but that's why these agenda items have to be fairly precise.
Okay.
So the whole public would have an opportunity, if it might affect them or it piques their curiosity, they have a chance to be able to come down and say, I'm in favor of this, I'm against this. But this is this item is stated pretty clearly of what our discussion is, and I would welcome your comments of if you like it or you don't like it, whatever you think. But I don't think we can vary too far off of that.
Okay, well then I don't know. It was just some ideas I had and some other people's ideas that in lieu of or in addition to supporting the 1.5 tax that maybe the council would like to think about. And when you said discussion, I thought it was an open discussion on those ideas relative to looking at different ideas for doing a tax or not doing a tax. I mean, I'll give it up and go sit down.
Well, I'll pass the buck and once again refer that to the city attorney.
Ma'am, it sounds like the council is going to have another work session to address those alternatives, so I would ask that you wait until then.
Okay, I can do that. I have no problem with
that.
Thank you. Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Susan Blackford. Ms. Christina Steele, am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Most of you recognize me as a reporter, but I actually have a question as a citizen. So I live in Bisbee, and I did a quick check, and we are already one of the highest in the state. And Sharon mentioned that the sales tax is already allocated in three different places. Could you tell me those places and what they are?
If you'd like, you can do an information request and I'll address it. It was the last election we did bed tax, the street, and then back in the year 2003.
And then the mayor had said that 0.5% would generate about $360,000, which would offset some of the money that you don't have. But if you take away those three allocations, what is that amount that you would generate with that increase?
Well,
is it actually $360,000 or is it more like $200,000?
Well, 1% is about $760,000, so half that would be $360,000. But that's not an option. This was voted on by the citizens of Bisbee. So it was elected, and we just can't take that away. That would have to go back to the voters. The election had a sunset of 8 years and a 4, I believe, for the bank.
Ms. Bono, I really need you to go up to the microphone so the public can hear you, and we have a tape available.
Half a percent is actually going to generate the 36.
It should, yes, because 1% does about 760,000. So half of that would
be. But even after you take away the three allocations that you already have to pay, that the voters already approved, another 0.5% increase would still give you 360,000.
Right, because it's based on the total amount. Because their percentage doesn't change. Because our tax rate changes. And we're not really one of the highest, especially when you look at bed tax. I spent the night in Tucson, and their bed tax was 10%. I about fell over. But they're dedicated. They're dedicated to the streets. They're dedicated to the transient tax, to promoting Bisbee as an overnight destination. So none of those types of dollars can be used for operating expenses. Okay, other than visitor center, but it has to pertain to the overnight. And that is one thing that the auditors will be reporting on. I've asked them to go over that with you. And so we can figure out how to monitor this for the next 4 and 8 years so I don't have to recalculate everything every year. We're just going to make it part of the process.
Let's go to former council member Scott, and we'll come back over and go ahead. We already have your name written down. I wrote it down.
Good afternoon, council. Vinnie Scott, Ward 3. Thank you for the public safety retirement. I enjoy it. Yes, I do. It's a nice check. But as it came up before, we talked long time ago about uniting everybody together. This is not something new. We talked about getting together. We talked about working with Douglas, working with Sierra Vista to bring our tax down on our retirement. It hasn't happened. I would really like to see you people start calling these towns and let's get together. When you start losing, quit paying public safety retirements, you're going to lose people. Thank you.
Thank you, Benny Scott. Susan Blackford, did you want to speak again? You're certainly welcome to do that.
One little note on the issue, so I'm going to try again. Okay. first of all, thank you all for opening this up and talking to us all. And it's very healthy to have arguments and discussions. It's good for both sides, and it's good for the town. I would like to put out an idea for maybe the city manager to look into some different ideas and things to come up with to present maybe at this next work session. And I applaud the mayor for coming up with an idea to solve this problem. And I think all of you need to be challenged, besides Doug and your idea, Serena, to come up with an idea. Maybe it's far out, but maybe it'll bring us back into where we need to be to come up with ideas, because we're all in this together. So I'm right now, I'm going to say that I support the sales tax by 1.5 cents. And for God's sake, always put things to the vote of the people. Most of us here do not want to pay more sales tax, and there will be a time real soon we cannot do this anymore. But we have no choice to generate money now and then maybe have work sessions on future ideas and plans of where we can grow the city in with our assets. And there are over 40,000 small towns and hamlets in the United States. And they're all, like I said, waiting for their sugar daddies to come, and they're not going to come. So we have to look within ourselves how to solve this, not by pointing figures and not by saying you're right and you're wrong, because ideas are ideas, okay? And we need to respect them all, and maybe this will go a lot toward healing back this town instead of dividing this town. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Blackford. Anybody else? Any other comments from the council? Council Member Sullivan.
Tiny comment. I wanted to clarify, because I keep hearing 1.5 cents. It's just a half cent, which would bring the total tax up to 10.1. Is that correct?
It is 1.5 cent proposed sales tax increase that the voters would have to vote on.
So, because it's at 9.6. So 10.1 is what it would put our tax up to. So I just wanted to, like, make that clear. And that's all.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Would you wish to speak? Ms. Pulling, come on up.
Thank you, Mayor, for allowing me to speak. I was not signed up. But before coming to this meeting, I had talked with five other business owners this afternoon, and none of them really understood what this work session was about. It was the TPT tax. Didn't we already pass that? Why are we having a work session on the TPT? So I think that by having this work session and having it being listed on the agenda as specifically as you did, predisposed what you have already decided that you're going to do. So somehow or another, this idea of other suggestions or other topics or alternatives to that half-cent sales tax are not meant to be discussed. And wherever this half-cent sales tax idea came from, it didn't come from a public work session. It came from some discussion within the departments or somehow or another for an idea to offset this deficit. And
if I may interject something, it came from me. He says where it
okay.
came from.
So
and pretty much solely from me.
It came from
with,
you.
With consulting after I brought it up forward.
Okay. So I think therein lies the confusion as to why people think they have an opportunity to suggest other ideas and talk about something openly and publicly, because the half cent tax and the fact that it's a half cent, not three quarters of a cent or 1 cent, it's already been kind of thought through to be decided yay or nay. And I just wanted to put that out there, because there are many people who are very interested about what goes on and had no idea about what this work session was about. So I just wanted to say, hopefully we will have another work session and we will discuss the other options, and other council members will have a chance to bring their ideas forward. Thank you.
Donna Pulling, thank you. Any other comments from the council or the public? Councilmember Sullivan.
Okay, so sticking to the issue that we're talking about, since there's not a lot to really discuss, which has been pointed out, we know that it would cost us between $3,500 and $5,000 to put it on the ballot, right? So that's one key thing to think about, and then the amount that it would bring in. So that's really all we have to discuss, right? Is what are the variables?
Well, we could, there's actually quite a few things we could discuss, whether that would harm the people's pocketbook or benefit the city, et cetera, but we would have to stay in the parameters of this particular agenda item. But there's a lot of tangents that would keep us in those parameters that we could possibly go down. And we did venture outside that a little bit too much tonight. So I will inform the council right now that I intend to place this on the agenda as soon as possible. And obviously it can't be on for next Tuesday, but expect it on the one after that. Councilmember Hansen?
Mayor, I would hope that we are going to have a work session before this is placed on the agenda to talk about other alternatives.
Well, I suppose that we could do that, but we're going to run into a time situation where this will not be able to be placed on the ballot. And I don't want to run into that time constraint. Councilmember Connors?
We could just put this on the agenda to discuss and take possible action, couldn't we?
Possibly.
And more people would be tuned in on a Tuesday night for a city council meeting, wouldn't they?
Probably.
And if it was really spelled out, so we could do it all in a meeting on a Tuesday night. I suggest we do that.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. We might have to bring our sleeping bags. That might last a long
time. I'm up for it.
Okay. So any other comments from the council?
Well, Mayor, I just want to, as I start off, I commend you for bringing this to us. I'm disappointed that the agenda is so narrowly, but I do applaud you for bringing this forward. It's something we need to discuss, and I look forward to discussing other alternatives. And it's not going to be an easy task, but I appreciate your bringing this forward.
I appreciate your compliments very much. I brought it forward because, I'll be quite frank, I was not hearing it talked about anywhere. And it had been on my mind, and so I knew the numbers were dire. I do not want to see this city lose its services. I think that would seriously damage our city in many ways, economically and also socially. So I didn't hear any suggestions over the last 6 months of dealing with issues that Mr. Dunn is talking about or other items. And so I thought there was essentially disinterest in the council. There was no suggestions for work sessions on various other items that would generate income or solve this particular dilemma that we're in. So I decided to act, and I did. I called for this work session. And the other things that we are discussing, I do not see that they would have any immediate result. It might take a year, might take 2 years to implement those. So once again, as I said, I'm going to place this on the agenda for the next, not the next council session, but the one after that. That'll be in the first Tuesday in October, I believe. So that's what I'm going to do.
Mayor?
Councilmember Sullivan?
I would suggest if we do put this on the ballot that it has a 2-year sunset so that it only lasts until the next election, and then we can vote on it again and hopefully in that time frame come up with some real revenue streams that are other than the taxes.
I appreciate that. I'll take that under advisement. I think that's a good suggestion. Appreciate that. Any other comments from the council? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.